Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Gregory the Great. We have had in the Church many, many fine, saintly leaders. We are living in a time when we are facing many scandals among our leadership, and it causes great sorrow, and it can cause great anger. So I want you to pay attention to these readings today in light of our present situation. I want you to listen carefully to these. The opening prayer. Well, let me say first something about St. Gregory, because he's St. Gregory the Great. He's one of three popes to be called the Great. Gregory was born as barbarian tribes assaulted Rome, the bloody beginning of the Middle Ages. And after a distinguished career in civil service, Gregory renounced all and entered a monastery. He was elected pope in the year 590. Gregory's level-headed yet profoundly prayerful approach maintained the peace and won souls for Christ from among the invading tribes. Through the dialogues, accounts of the heroism of the saints, and his many letters, he guided and formed his flock. And listen to these words of Gregory. Study, I beg you, each day meditate on the words of your Creator. Learn the heart of God in the words of God, so that you long more ardently for eternity. That's marvelous advice from one of the great popes, from one of the great men of God. Turn to them now, brothers and sisters. Read the teachings of the Church. Read the Scriptures. Get yourself fully rooted so that in this storm that we're going through, and it is quite a storm, we will not be uprooted. Do we cling deeply? I understand anger. I understand that. But don't let your anger rule you. Draw near to God. God is the only one who can help us through this. God is the one who will give us the direction. Cling to his word. Cling to his word. Frequent the sacraments. The priests themselves are suffering too. I'm speaking now here of all priests, because what happens among some affects all. This is a time where we really need to pray and say, Lord, give us your heart, give us your mind, give us your spirit. Help us, lead us, guide us, and he will. He will. The opening prayer for today is this: O God, who care for your people with gentleness and rule them in love, through the intercession of Pope St. Gregory, endow, we pray, with a spirit of wisdom those to whom you have given authority to govern, that the flourishing of a holy flock may become the eternal joy of the shepherds. Pray for your priests. Pray for the leaders who are faithful. Pray for them. Their job is very, very hard right now and will be for some time. Pray for them. Support them. But most of all, draw closer to the Lord yourself. Draw near to him. First reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come, this is Paul, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When I was with you, I wanted to learn only about Jesus and him crucified. I didn't want to deal with all these other issues. I wanted to know him and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. That's where our faith needs to be. It's on God, in God, His power, His wisdom. Don't look to men, look to God. Psalm 119, one of the longest psalms in Scripture, in fact, perhaps the longest in Scripture. I have to double check that. But Psalm 119, learn it, sing it, pray it out loud as much as you can. It is, some of this is to music. Lord, I love your commands. Lord, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your command has made me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers when your decrees are my meditation. In other words, when I reflect on the word of God day in and day out, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I have more discernment than the elders because I observe your precepts. When we observe the law of God, the obstacles between us and God are much, much less. Much less. When we really listen to the word of God, allow our lives to be shaped by the word of God, we become different. I have more discernment than the elders because I observe your precepts. From every evil way, I withhold my feet that I may keep your words. From your ordinances, I turn not away, for you have instructed me. Take Psalm 119. Read a certain section of it every day out loud. Really, I encourage you to do this and to see the beauty of loving the Word of God, not in the sense of, oh yeah, more rules, more regulations. No, look at this psalm. Look what it says about the Word of God. It's what gives you life. We're so used to sterile, as I call them, sterile laws. They give us direction, tell us what we may do and what we can't do and what we need to follow and what the penalties are if we don't. And that's in order to keep society functioning, keep us without harming one another and to live in a certain peace. And that's good. But what we're after is what God says, so that we live in a peace that comes from God, not from us. Don't settle for what this world can offer you. Don't ever settle for it, because God gives you infinitely more. Learn to love His word. Love His commands. Actually love them, not, oh, I have to do this. It leads to life. His word leads to life. His commands lead us to union with the source of all love, the source of all wisdom and all truth and all beauty. Please hear the word of the Lord and follow Him. Read Psalm 119. Read it through, the whole thing. Read it out loud again and again and again, parts of it again and again, every day, until you begin to experience what God wants you to know is a love and a reverence for His word and His direction. Luke 4, verses 16 to 30. Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had grown up, and went according to His custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." The Lord wants a people who follow Him and who make their priorities His priorities, who make our agendas His agenda. Am I willing to unite myself that closely with God? I need to. He calls us all the time, "Come to me." Don't embrace the quote, wisdom, end of quote, of the world. Don't embrace it. Embrace God, embrace His wisdom, His priorities, and you will know a happiness that the world cannot take from you. And in this difficult time in the church, we need to draw close to Him. Jesus came to Nazareth, and then, as I said, He unrolled the scroll, and He began to preach. And after he preached that passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor and proclaim liberty and recovery of sight to the blind," all those things that we long for in our own lives and in the lives of those we love. He proclaims that, and then rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. They sat down when there was formal teaching. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." He's the answer. It is fulfilled in him. And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" In other words, "Hey, we know Joseph. Who's he think he is?" "He's the son of Joseph." He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" See, he's back home right now. That's how this passage began. Jesus came to Nazareth. And you know what it is when you go home. People remember you from the time you were a child. You can't hide anything. And they say, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" And he said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Now look what happens to the people. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. In other words, they experienced Jesus in a certain way not pleased with them because of their own sin, because he was telling them what they should do, that they should bring glad tidings to the poor, that he came to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and that we as his disciples should be striving to do the same thing. And they get very upset. The Pharisees get very, very upset because they fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. They're pointing fingers at people for not obeying the law, but they don't lift a finger to help them. When the people in the synagogue heard this and understood, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town. This is his native town. They drove him out of the town because they heard his words and they knew he was speaking to them, and led them to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl them down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. More on this passage in the programs to come. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789, or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.